first in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Well, welcome, everyone, to Tuesday's edition of Spouting Off Live. We do Spouting Off Live Tuesdays and Thursdays, and then, of course, you can access the podcast later at a later date if you weren't able to watch it. Listen to it. No, we're not video. We are audio. We're old-fashioned around here. But good of you to come to be along. If you'd like to join us live and give me a call as I do some spouting off of my own, which there's no shortage of things to spout off about, 603-816-5090 is the number. You can call in. We'd love to take your call. So before I got on the air, I do what I sometimes do, which is to go to the Liberty Daily site. It's called thelibertydaily.com. And I love this site. It's not the only site I go to for information, but it sort of reminds me of the New York Post. It's one of those sites that filled the void after it was clear that Drudge had been either forced out, sold out, or otherwise taken over. We don't know. I'll bet it was part of the contract that he'd keep his mouth shut. I seriously doubt that he had an ideological change as drastic as the Drudge Report made. The Drudge Report is just another leftist site now, and we've known that for some time. But one of them that filled the void, and there were many, is the Liberty Daily. If you go to thelibertydaily.com, and I'm giving them free publicity, they're not paying us for this, one of the screaming headlines on the front page is World Economic Forum calls for the end of private car ownership. Now, is there anybody anywhere who thinks that that is somehow a conspiracy theory on its face? Have we seen an attack right, left, upside down, I don't mean right, left politically, on people's car ownership? Some years ago, it was an attack on SUVs because they're just too darn big. Now it's an attack on gas using cars of any kind. They want us to use electrical cars. And of course, there was just, I don't know if you know this, there was just a big report that most of the electrical charging stations in places like California and elsewhere are inoperative. They don't work. Just think for a moment about what it would be like, I used to live in Colorado, to be stuck on the highway in freezing cold temperatures when your car goes out and there's not a darn thing you can do about it, no charging station anywhere, you're just stuck. And so are a lot of other people freezing to death in their cars. Now, the hatred of cars by the World Economic Forum is they claim it's all because of climate change. I ain't going to debate climate change. It's preposterous. They've been fear-mongering about climate change a lot longer than they've been fear-mongering about COVID, and all for the same reason. Cutting down on this case, they claim it's cutting down on wasteful car ownership will help to avert a climate apocalypse. Oh my God. And everything is an apocalypse to people who want to rob you of your freedom. Now, cars are freedom. They are a form of personal freedom. Never forget that. What does a kid first want at 16? He wants a car so he can have more freedom, personal freedom from his parents. Who doubts that these maniacs want to take away our freedom? Everything they've done, including prohibiting us, and I'm not going to get into all the different levels of maniacs, the useful idiots, the people on the bandwagon, or the people who have devised these schemes, because they're not all the same. They're not all dupes, but a good many of them are. There are even a bunch of dupes or people who've sold out in the government. We've never seen a level of corruption like this. But the ideology of whomever it is, one of them is the World Economic Forum. If you go to thelibertydaily.com, you will see a picture of Klaus Schwab. Gotta say it that way, because this is a maniac who's been watching too many bad sci-fi movies, but he's not the only one. I talked to somebody who's a Hollywood, one of the very few conservative Hollywood film critics. That's what he does, his stock and trade. He critiques films, he talks about entertainment, and he happens to be a conservative. I'm going to have him on in the weeks to come. And I talked to him about this and told him about a movie that my husband and I watched 2 days ago over the weekend that I want to share with you, that all of this leads up to. Now, so when the fellow who's the conservative critic, he said, yeah, like James Bond. But it isn't just James Bond. Just about every Hollywood movie, especially action, adventure, sci-fi movies, they always seem to have a bad guy who wants to take over the world. The bad guy or bad guys want to control other people, control what they do, control how they live. And it's amazing that I even hear myself saying this, that all evidence points to the fact that we have real life bad guys who want to take over the world. Many of them are given to the notion that there are too many people in the world and they like depopulation. But there's another word for depopulation. It's called genocide. If you try to make people sterile, and there is a story about that lately as well, that the jabs do affect reproductive abilities and are making people sterile. Now, you can believe or not believe, or of course the jury is still out on that, but that is the charge. And there are many, many articles saying that. If you sterilize people against their will without informed consent, that's a form of slavery. And of course, America did that with the Tuskegee Airmen, I believe, the Tuskegee experiment, in which they sterilized and even made people sick on purpose, used human beings, black human beings, as guinea pigs. Yes, the extent of human evil, sadly, cannot be underestimated. It never ceases to amaze me. I bring all this up, believe it or not, to tell you about this. This movie that I saw with my husband a couple days ago was made in 2000, in the year 2000, 22 years ago. It's a sci-fi movie, and I bet there are a whole bunch of them. If you want to write me and tell me about other Hollywood sci-fi movies where somebody wants to control the world, somebody wants to play God, somebody wants to merge us with machines or find everlasting life while they take away life from everyone else, this is one of those movies. This is one of those movies. It happens to be about cloning, and it also happens to be an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, and I loathe Arnold Schwarzenegger, which is why I haven't seen very many Arnold Schwarzenegger movies. But it so happens this film, which is called The Sixth Day, I highly recommend it. And when you look it up on your movie sites, use the number 6, because there's a bunch of things called The Sixth Day. This is one made in the year 2000, stars Arnold Schwarzenegger. It is about cloning, but it's also about science gone mad with human beings who are already mad. A man stumbles, this is the plot, a man meets a clone of himself and stumbles into a grand conspiracy about clones taking over the world. It's always about somebody taking over the world and deciding who lives and who dies. You could say, and I'm about to, that this is human beings trying to play God. And interestingly, not to give too much away, because I hope you'll watch it. I hope it will, this movie will have a resurgence, but a resurgence in an explanation that this is in fact what's going on, among many other things. The heart of socialism and Marxism is totalitarianism, and the ideology that is driving it is gender ideology, calling everyone racist, and climate change. Those are merely vehicles to force people to hand over their God-given liberties. All of what they are doing, they give a phony, faulty, lying reason why. How many of these people do you believe that a fraction of a degree in global warming, which they've changed to climate change, is really the reason they're doing all of this? How many of you believe that they want to take away cars from everyday citizens while they drive in limos, and they believe that they really believe in climate change? How many of you believe that people like the idiotic Leonardo DiCaprio, who desperately believes in climate change, really thinks that that is the threat? He's an idiot. He's an actor. He's an idiot actor who takes private planes wherever he wants to go. Count them, all of them, Al Gore and everyone else. How many of you believe they believe any of this lie as the reason why they want to take away your own personal automobile? That's not the reason. Cars are a symbol of freedom, and they want to take away your freedom. It's that simple. So as I wrap up, and I have to wrap this up, we have a spectacular couple of guests. Can't wait to tell you about them coming up here. Is go see this movie or pull it up on your television, which is the best way to do it. The Sixth Day, Made in 2000. At one point, Arnold Schwarzenegger, who off the screen doesn't believe in personal freedom, he tweeted as much. He said, "Liberty! How dare you think of liberty at a time like this?" So I have no respect for him. However, in The Sixth Day, he asks one of the bad guys, "Aren't you trying to play God?" And I think, and I'll paraphrase, the guy says, "No, we're going to make God obsolete." Right? So this transhumanism, this manipulating of human behavior, this disrespect, this cheapening of human life has reasons. And I tell you, this is not the reason that they are giving. All right? I'll just end with this, another article. Headline, GOP lawmakers question the constitutionality of the State Department granting to spread atheism abroad. Now, this isn't a religious program. I staunchly believe in religious liberty and religious pluralism, being one who puts the Judeo in Judeo-Christian. But why is it that we are spending taxpayer money to spread atheism across the globe? Why? Atheism is a precursor to Marxism, socialism, and the kind of control that these godless people want in our universe. Yes, it sounds like a conspiracy theory, but guess what? We're living in times in which it's not a conspiracy theory. Not that they all agree on the means, but right now we have people who are utter maniacs who really have been watching too many bad sci-fi movies. So I'm going to leave it there. Can't wait to tell you about our guest coming up. He's already online, ready to come on. The great, the one and only, the courageous Dr. Jerome Corsi will join us after the break. And if you're not familiar with him, I'll tell you more about him. You're listening to Karen Cataline and Spouting Off on WSMN. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA. Every MyPillow is made with passion here in my home state of Minnesota to ensure you get the best sleep of your life.
One of the things that I really like about MyPillow is the support. It gives my neck a little hug.
I've never slept better in my life. What's better than a great night's sleep?
Call or go online to take advantage of my best offer ever. For a limited time, when you use your promo code, you can get premium MyPillows regularly $69.98, now only $29.98. With our 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
Call 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM, R-A-M. That's 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back, everyone, to Spouting Off. I'm Karen Cataline, and here's one of the reasons I love doing talk radio, and it's a pleasure and an honor. I had the pleasure of meeting Dr. Jerome Corsi on a cruise many moons ago, and he was just as great then as he is now. In fact, he's come into national attention for a host of reasons, which we'll talk about. He received his PhD from Harvard in political science in 1972, has published at least 25 books on economics, history, and politics, including 6 New York Times bestsellers, amazing, 2 at number one. He co-authored the bestseller John O'Neill's book, Unfit for Command. Swift Boat veterans speak about John Kerry. Dr. Corsi authored his second New York Times bestseller in 2008, The Obama Nation, Leftist Politics, and the Cult of Personality. He was also senior editor at WorldNet Daily, where he authored hundreds of articles. Dr. Jerome Corsi, so glad to have you on the program.
Karen, great pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
Oh, boy, and you sound good on our new system, too. I've been wondering what you've been doing, and then my esteemed producer booked you on the show. Before we get to energy, global warming, and climate change, and that is what you're here to talk about. If everyone had the kind of courage you did, Jerry, we'd be in much better shape in this country, or we might not be in the shape we're in at all. You stared down the State Department and won. Tell us briefly about that so everyone knows this is the kind of courage all of us need to have.
Well, you're very kind. The Mueller investigation wanted to interrogate me, which they did. They thought I had a connection to Julian Assange. It was like their last linchpin witness that they expected me to say I had met with or talked to Julian Assange, knew what he was going to do in advance, shared that information with Roger Stone, who shared it with Donald Trump in the 2016 campaign, and that was their Russian collusion theory. Trump then coordinated how the emails would be released, especially John Podesta's emails that were released by Assange at the end of the campaign. The problem was I didn't have any connection with Assange. I had figured out on my own that what Assange had from what he described were Podesta's emails, and they were. But at any rate, the Justice Department, Mueller prosecutors, when I wouldn't lie to tell their story, they then were going to indict me. They actually gave me a plea deal, and I rejected the plea deal. I mean, my wife basically woke up one morning and said she would rather visit me in prison the rest of my life than not have me be the man she married. And I said, well, Monica, if you feel that way, then I'm going to tell these people to take a hike. And I did, and went on the media, released their plea deal to the public, took a lot of abuse from the mainstream media. They were happy to have me on mainstream media then because they thought I was going to prison. But at any rate, Mueller never indicted me, and it was a nightmare for a couple of years I've been recovering from it. I mean, you still wake up in the middle of the night and think the Justice Department's going to break down the door and arrest you and have nightmares over it. But the point is, I decided I was going to spend the rest of my time on Earth writing books. And so this new book on global warming and climate change is my first, I think, more comprehensive book than I've written before. I took a year to write it. I put a lot more of the, you know, Marxist political theory behind the global warming movement. I show the science in great detail. I mean, a political science and PhD in political science from Harvard, but you can judge for yourself reading the book how much science I know. But so at any rate, the book is 400 pages long. It's got 1,000 footnotes and very heavily footnoted from our scientific peer review journals. And I think it's a game-changing book if anybody will read it, if we get any attention. And I don't expect I'll get much attention from the mainstream media this time around.
Well, look at Robert F. Kennedy's book that was censored, was taken off the shelves, and it still became a New York Times bestseller. This was perfect because I was all bent out of shape when I saw on the Liberty Daily a picture of Klaus Schwab with the headline, World Economic Forum Calls for the End of Private Car Ownership, using as its reason, and it's not the reason, climate change. So give us some ammo. I mean, we got to have people get out and get the book and make it popular and have other people read it. But many of our listeners here know that this is another fraud being perpetrated on the public. Why don't you delve into some of the things the book covers, especially those things that are most persuasive, at least a few, whet our appetite, that we can tell our friends and neighbors who maybe are a little more gullible and think we're all going to die because of the weather?
Well, the book is entitled The Truth About Energy, Global Warming, and Climate Change. And it's the subtitle, Exposing Climate Lies in an Age of Disinformation. And let's start here, that carbon dioxide is a trace element in the atmosphere today. If you go back in Earth history, and the left and the neo-Marxists that want to destroy capitalism forget that the Earth is 4.6 billion years old. Now, in the early Earth, carbon dioxide was predominant in the atmosphere, and it has actually been lessening in geological time. 500 million years ago, which is pretty recent in the 4.6 billion year Earth history, carbon dioxide started reducing. So by 175 million years ago, carbon dioxide was only 7,500 parts per million of the atmosphere. Today, carbon dioxide is 400, maybe 440 parts per million of the atmosphere, and the global warming, it's doubled since the Industrial Revolution. Well, yes, Industrial Revolution, the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere was 200 parts per million. That's about 0.00003 of the atmosphere. It's a trace element. Carbon dioxide in the atmosphere is so small that it's hard to measure, and yet the global left wants us to believe this is the major driver of temperature on Earth, and we're all going to die because the Earth is getting unbearably warm because of this tiny little bit of carbon dioxide, even though in 175 million years, the Earth was here with a lot more carbon dioxide than it's got today.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the most persuasive arguments that you've made to people who at least are persuadable, not the hard left that already believes that America is a horrible country and deserves to be destroyed anyway? They're hard to argue with. But what do you think, also what you just said, some other things in your book, The Truth About Energy, Global Warming, and Climate Change? I got to say the name of the book, Exposing Climate Lies in an Age of Disinformation. What's one climate lie that persuades people this is nonsense?
Well, I can pick many. I'm going to take the abiotic oil. I write the chapter 9 on abiotic oil, which means that oil as fossil fuel not the case. Oil is not fossil fuel. That's another one of the lies we've been told, that fossil fuels store carbon dioxide in the earth from dead plants and animals. And so therefore releasing all this ancient carbon dioxide by burning the hydrocarbon fuels. Well, it's just, first of all, I've shown in the book the equations which were developed in the Weimar Republic in Germany by the chemists, the Fischer-Tropsch equations, which show how basically oil, natural gas, any hydrocarbon fuels are synthesized by the earth as a natural basis in the mantle of the earth today as well, continuing. And these equations were used by Nazi Germany to produce synthetic oil out of coal. What these equations show, just if you think about it, you know, when living tissue dies, or whether it's plankton or bacteria or human beings or plants, we don't deteriorate into a higher form of energy. It would violate the second law of thermodynamics, entropy. We basically decompose into constituent chemicals. It's why human beings stink, animals stink when we decompose, we bury them. And I have yet to read about any human being or animal being dug up after being buried, and you find oil. You find, dust into dust, not dust into oil, as the Bible does not say dust into oil. Mm-hmm. So therefore, this whole idea of hydrocarbon fuels being limited, being somehow not natural to the earth. You know, the earth is making hydrocarbon fuels. I go extensively into this, demonstrate how the hydrocarbon fuels are bubbling out of these deep ocean hydrothermic fields, that the scientists from Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute, Massachusetts, have studied these abiotic hydrocarbons. They validated that they were created in the earth by the Fischer-Tropsch processes. So again, this is neglected science, but it kind of, it's a mind-changing point that we are not releasing dead carbon dioxide that's been stored in dead tissue in oil, and that's part of the argument of global warming. In fact, you know, the earth has a carbon cycle, which we're based in carbon. The original life in the earth, these hydrothermal fields, probably were bacteria and other microbes in the earth, deep sea, that were not living in photosynthesis. The earth, 80% of Earth's history, the pre-Cretaceous period, pre-Cambrian period, this period of time, we all know nothing about it, hardly at all. There was no life on the surface of the earth, only in the last 20% of the Earth's history. Human beings, humanoids, have been around maybe 10 million years. That's a microsecond in a planet that's 4.6 billion years old. We're like, to the Earth, the latest species walking around on the surface of the Earth, not necessarily very important, not here nearly 100 million years like the dinosaurs were. And the Earth does not regulate its temperature in order to please us.
Talk about hubris, right, Jerry?
Right. I mean, we're supposed to be the center. You know, we're just God here, basically. And right. The left wants us to believe we are the controlling factor of the Earth. Right. The Earth had 4.6 billion years virtually without us and did quite fine, despite a lot of cataclysmic changes.
Right.
You know, and I point out five extinctions, massive extinctions in the, you know, the global warming theorists say we're going to have a sixth extinction, the Anthropocene. Human beings are going to be responsible for our own extinction. Well, again, it's ridiculous. First of all, let's take the extinction of the dinosaurs, the end of the Cretaceous period, 65 million years ago, to a series of really cataclysmic events. A giant asteroid hit the Yucatan, and that threw up tsunami all the way through North America, through debris into the sky, and it was compounded by 1,000 years of volcanic activity. 1,000 years in India, which was throwing sulfuric oxide into the atmosphere, blocking the sun, ending photosynthesis. And if that wasn't enough, you know, there's excellent evidence, this expanding Earth theory, which I deal with at great length, that the Earth did expand dramatically in its history. It's how the continents drifted apart. It wasn't just they were all together as one big continent. They split up. No, it the Earth grew. Its energy grew because the Earth's mass grew, and dinosaurs were simply too big structurally to survive in a higher gravity environment.
Dr. Corsi, I hate to interrupt you. We only have about 2.5 minutes left, and that's not long with the huge subject that you tackled in this book. Very brief question, and then I want everybody to know where they can get this new book. Isn't one of the reasons so many people buy into this whole climate change and willing to do anything, including give up their liberty, is because they don't understand this? They don't understand science. I wasn't a great science student myself. So, you know, it's just complicated enough for people to say, well, I don't know, but I guess we ought to do something.
It is complicated, and it does take study, because the Earth's climate is a nonlinear system. It's a very complicated systems theory with a lot of feedbacks. It's not simple that, you know, the X amount of carbon dioxide means X amount of global warming. The Earth doesn't work that way. And I spend the first part of the book, the first four chapters, showing how this Malthusian movement, too many people in the world, Paul Ehrlich, together with John Holdren, who was Obama's science czar, decided that the real problem was we were destroying the Earth's climate. In the 70s, they were worried about global cooling and new ice age because the Earth was cooling. Then they said, oh, no, it's going to be, it started warming, so it's going to be a new global warming problem. But if you can make people afraid that even the air we breathe and the Earth is going to kill us if we don't, this is a movement that was co-opted by the neo-Marxists. AOC is a good example. Mm-hmm. And its intent is to destroy capitalism, because by demonizing hydrocarbon fuels, which are the engine of capitalism, getting people afraid of them, we could reduce the standard of living. We could destroy capitalism. We could reduce the middle class to serfs, and the global elite would be in charge.
Yep, that's what they want. And I've been talking about it. Sounds like a bad sci-fi movie, but these people are maniacs. Tell everybody where they can find this wonderful book of yours, Dr. Jerome Corsi, The Truth About Energy.
The Truth About Energy, Global Warming and Climate Change. It's available now. It's getting into the stores, the Barnes & Noble stores. They have only a few. Again, the, you know, the supply chain problem. There'll be more. And on Amazon, etc.
Well, very good. Dr. Jerome Corsi, Godspeed to you. Such courage. One of my favorite guests ever. There he goes. I appreciate it so much. I think all of us appreciate your courage, and we can learn from you how to stand up. We'll be right back after this. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. They're not out to tell you the truth of what's happening. They're out to tell you the picture of the world that they represent. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in facts, and prevent people from being misled. The Epoch Times is independent. We're not controlled by any special interest, and we never will be. This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would ensnare this country in ignorance, and between a media that wants to present you with the truth. Subscribe today to our digital edition at theepochtimes.com and join the Americans who are seeking truth and tradition. Read the difference on all your devices. We'd love to have you on board.
Hi, it's Karen Cataline. It's been almost a decade since I wrote Fat Lash Food Police and the Fear of Thin. It's about my early experiences in child beauty pageants and being put on extreme diets. Remember when that was shocking? Sadly, that seems like child's play compared to what we are watching today, when politicians and woke corporations are actually advocating for the sexualization of children. Everyone's children. We're watching a frontal attack on childhood innocence. This is one story, my story. Fat Lash illustrates and explains why good boundaries are essential for kids to grow up healthy. They need their parents to set them, not the government. Get Fat Lash today. It's available in paperback or ebook at Amazon or at my website, KarenCataline.com.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Well, welcome. Welcome back, everyone, to Spouting Off. I'm your happy host, Karen Cataline. And we had a last-minute switch, a switcheroonie. And that's what I love about talk radio. An old talk show host I knew long a time ago said, "No man, it's master. You got to be on your toes." We were going to talk about the queer agenda with someone I just this minute interviewed. And here, because I obviously didn't look at the schedule, which is just fine, we have our very good friend, Keith Hansen, talk show host extraordinaire. And what are you here to talk about, Keith Hansen? Are you there, Keith? Well, I think he's going to be here in a minute anyway. Keith Hansen, go. Okay, well, we will have him momentarily. I think he's muted himself. I think you need to unmute yourself there, Keith, and then we will have you. In the meantime, let me say this. It is interesting that we were going to talk about, and it's something that is, talk about this queer agenda or LGBTQ ABC agenda. And you have to ask yourself, what does changing genders and teaching children that there is no boy or no girl and abusing children, which is what our guest was going to say, literally child abuse, maiming children with surgeries and hormones, what does that have to do with the Great Reset and the new agenda? Well, everything. I just heard Keith Hansen. And so are you on, Keith?
All right, let's try this again. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can, Keith.
Oh, there we go. Perfect.
There you are. Keith Hansen, everyone. You know him from WSMN. I don't have his bio handy, but all you got to know is he can talk about anything, anywhere, no matter what. So welcome to the program. Obviously, we had a last minute change that I was unaware of. And what is on your mind today?
I would have to throw that right back at you and say, what do you, since I can talk about anything, and you're correct. And thanks so much for having me to connect with you again. What's on your mind? I mean, what are you hearing from your listeners? And
well, why don't we start with what I was prepared to talk about when I wasn't sure we had a guest? And that is this LGBTQ. It's so sci-fi to teach pornography, to corrupt and abuse children, put pornography on grade school shelves, but ban Mr. Potato Head and Mark Twain and groom children and have Disney teaching kids about gender ideology and all of that. I know you can talk about anything, but I've never talked to you about this. What do you think about it? And just because it's, what do you think about it? And how does that play in, if you think it does, to this much greater agenda that we just heard Dr. Jerome Corsi talk about, which is global Marxism and authoritarianism? How does something like changing a gender have anything to do with that at all? What do you think?
In terms of what the tie-in necessarily would be, I mean, that could go in a lot of different directions. As part of the Marxist agenda and as part of the the global agenda. I mean, I am this globalist Marxist agenda is absolutely satanic, and it seeks to under the structure and the integrity of the family. It seeks to remove of, I don't want to use the word power in the wrong sense, but power and control from parents to the state and representatives of the state. And, you know, I mean, I agree with it. It's obscene that, you know, certain things get canceled, but the sexual, the open of children is something that is not only is it becoming mainstream, but it's becoming normal. And this whole notion that you know, this transgenderism is such a, it is a mental condition. It was the DSM reclassified it as a dysphoria. It affects such a of the population that why we devote so much time and so much energy and so many into propping this up and making this mainstream, when again it's an infinitesimally small percentage of the population, it really kind of has to make you, unless it's simply to groom children. And I think there's a big part of that. Progressives love to sexualize children.
Isn't that horrible?
Children have no,
just to say that, just to say that progressives like to sexualize children sounds so horrific. I mean, this is child abuse. There is no doubt about it. I would yes, I would just throw out here, since we're doing the back and forth, and I think you did a tremendous job. You're always so articulate. It's an attack on decent culture and decency culture and Christians and people of faith who particularly have something against it. Same thing with gay marriage. They just continue to attack institutions because Christians and conservatives and Americans in general hold fast to them. That's why they're being attacked. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I'll take it one step further, which is, you know, they loved, those are the ones that A, actually managed to survive in the womb, and aren't abort- in the eyes of a progressive that, that abortion is a constitutional right. You have the right of your child, if that's what you feel is appropriate. And if they don't wind up becoming, because there's two things, and I'll say this, and I have absolutely no problem saying this, progressives love dead children in the form of aborted fetuses because they can politicize and monetize that. And they love children that have been killed as a result of liberal gun control policies because they can stand on a pile of freshly slaughtered children and scream for more government, bigger government, more money, and more votes. Listen, a pile of dead children, whether it's dead fetuses or dead adolescents, it's a literal a mountain of political opportunities for the godless moral left in this country.
Keith, you know, just hearing you say that, it's interesting that for most people, that kind of candor is offensive. But if what you say is true, then it's not as offensive as that. You know what I mean? It's like we're not allowed to speak of it because speaking of it is offensive. But the thing you're speaking about, if it's true, is deeply and profoundly offensive. And I think it has a lot to do with this depopulation and the notion it's nihilism. It's of course, it's only nihilism for us because the big moneyed people who are trying to control everything are spending millions, maybe even billions of dollars to live forever. So it's everlasting life for me and death for you. Do you think that's a conspiracy theory or do you think that's true? Because we're seeing evidence of it every darn day.
Historical fact. You can go back to the early stages under Woodrow Wilson, the early progressivism movement in this country. Go back and research the eugenics movement. You can actually of the manuals from the conference of American eugenicists the notes that they had, the program manuals from the international meetings that they held, people that they and they alone determined to be undesirable elements of marked for extinction. The whole reason why Planned Parenthood was established was because Margaret, to get black people who progressive leftists don't like, to breed them. This isn't conspiracy theory, and this isn't some right-wing tinfoil helmet concept. This is real history, not revisionist history. And this is the portion of history that they would like nothing more than to put in memory hole.
Yeah. They have done a tremendously good job of projecting their crimes, not to say that conservatives and Republicans or whatever, especially Republicans, have committed crimes of their own. They've been corrupt. They've lied. But Democrats have done an amazingly good job of projecting every crime, including racism in the KKK, onto their political opponents so that they could disown it. Talk about that, since you're such a great student of history.
Well, it's said many, many times over, is that when you hear a politician's big D's, I'm not talking about, you know, mainstream. The mainstream Democrat vote a talking point, and they rely heavily on confirmation biases in positions of leadership and policymaking. When you hear these people speak, you can absolutely, is a twisted, projected confession. Everything that Trump has been accused of, they are many, many, many times over to a much deeper and greater degree. So, and again, if people are actually willing to put their biases aside and take a very objective look at this, is an absolute, unrefutable truth.
Isn't that true? Yeah. And it's funny because I'm going to just go back to my monologue at the beginning of the program. Sometimes, Keith, I think about some of these people like Klaus Schwab and, oh my God, Yuval Noah Harari and these people who believe in transhumanism. And again, they want to live forever, but they want to decide who lives and who dies among the peons, among the peasants. That's you and I. They've been watching too many bad sci-fi movies. What do you think about that? I mean, the movies that we watched 20 years ago, I pointed to one, are movies that it almost feels like we're living in.
Well, you can go back to the words of the famous, was one of the founding members of the Fabian Socialists, who has a very, very famous clip. Would you be kind enough to justify your existence? That they look at very little and consume the resources as being just that, their black hole, food and energy and government services go into these black, nothing ever comes out, and certainly there is no return on that investment. And these are the people that for extermination by a tyrannical status. Yeah. This has gone throughout history, absolutely in favor of this.
It's a philosophy of shortage and famine, and a philosophy of zero-sum games rather than the abundance that America has produced around the world through free markets and the like. And so they want to control all the resources, it seems.
Well, I mean, if you control the resources, I mean, it's kind of a reverse of what Marx and Engels, basically the Communist Manifesto, was predicated upon. And that's and the Communist Manifesto doesn't work. The Communist Manifesto, remember, was written from a European point of view, where by and was multi-generational dynastic patriarchies that production but also controlled the wealth as well. They didn't have free market systems, and the wealth patriarchies, dynastic patriarchies, the would pass on to his heirs the factories and the productions and the means of production. Difficult for the average person to actually amass wealth because they were locked out of Marx and Engels were really railing against in the Communist Manifesto. And one of the reasons as well is because it allows the average person, and this is really where when you had the, you know, the blue collar versus the white collar workers. Now in post-industrial America, now you have situations where a person who does not have a college degree can suddenly become now when you're extremely wealthy, you are now put into a position of influence, and you can. That's another reason why they don't like the free market system, because the free market system now to ascend to financial ranks that were otherwise unachievable for them.
Oh, well, we were having trouble with the sound, and I think we've lost Keith Hansen. Now, this was on his end, I have to say. Are you still there, Keith? We've lost you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can. Hear me now? Yeah, we're having a real hard time. You are breaking up quite a bit, and I let you go because
that's because I'm in New Hampshire, and in New Hampshire, we have zero cellular infrastructure.
Is that it?
The Department of Economic Development in the Granite State feels that it's appropriate to have people living in 15th century development. So
Keith, because
Osama bin Laden could upload video from a cave in Afghanistan, but I can't make a cell phone call in a major metropolitan.
I know. I have trouble with my cell phone too. We have less than 2 minutes. What we want to do is wrap it up and find out as quickly as we can. What are you up to these days? Where can people find you online and elsewhere? Give us a plug.
Well, of my shows at keithontheair.com. I am on hiatus right now from broadcast, so absolutely out straight with the firearms and tactical training, law enforcement agencies, and contract security firms, and so it's been absolutely crazy. But Keith, I am off of social media. There is nothing good about it, and I just don't go on it anymore. So at Real Keith Hansen on Twitter.
At Real Keith Hansen, you are on Twitter. You are on Twitter.
Archive stuff. If you want to read all the times, all the wonderful state lawmakers here in New Hampshire, great opportunity to do it.
Listen, thank you for coming on.
Life is better. My pleasure.
Thank you so much, Keith Hansen. Always, everyone knows him out of New Hampshire. We apologize for the sound problems there. That about does it for us here on Spouting Off. Always a pleasure. Thank you, Art and Juan and George, for making our show possible. I will see you on Thursday and Friday this week at 1 p.m. Thursday here at WSMN, Friday on live at my website, KarenKetteline.com. Keep on spouting off and doing it with courage. Yes, sirree.